Parshas Vayechi, the theme of Kvura figures very prominently, both in terms of Yaakov Avinu and his request to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And at the end, we have the almost Kvura of Yosef, Hatzadik, who is doesn't actually say that he was buried. He was placed in an Aron. But that's a conversation for a different time. I had sent out to some of you earlier a copy of a cover article from Mishpacha magazine of about 2.5 years ago, highlighting some of the controversies that have been going on recently in Eretz Yisrael regarding new methods of burial, or relatively new methods of burial, where the issue apparently is that they're running out of traditional burial spaces in Yerushalayim and other major cities. So some people with the apparent Haskama of the Rabbanut have taken the initiative to create new modes of burial, which will break down into three basic categories and have to analyze them. Although this is a totally preliminary analysis, I hadn't really been sensitized to too many of these issues until I decided to talk about it and haven't really looked into it since yesterday. So this is all preliminary based on what I've seen. But it seems like the major three possible innovations in terms of Kvura are, number one, being kover one mace on top of another mace. It's having a, what they call machpela, a double grave where you have one mace lower down, and then a little bit of break, another mace on top of that mace. That's option one, which that's Beferish in Shulchan Aruch, seems to be Beferish in Shulchan Aruch, at least under certain circumstances, is okay. We'll talk about that. The second new innovation is what's called Kvura B'Komot, high-rise burial, or layered burial, which itself has two flavors. One of them is basically like a parking lot style or apartment style edifice above ground, which to me looks like a mausoleum. It doesn't look like a mausoleum, but halachically looks like a mausoleum at first glance. Some of those are like freestanding structures. Some of those are built into the side of a mountain or some pre-existing natural or man-made formation. And then the other flavor is underground Kvura B'Komot, where you have the same kind of layered burial that looks like a mausoleum, but it's all underground. Okay, so let's start with what we would consider a traditional Kvura. If you look in the Gemara in Daf, Mem Zayin, Mem Vafam, and Beis in Sanhedrin, which you have in front of you, the first page of the Marmar Kamos, a little bit after the two dots towards the end of the short line, the Gemara has a Memra of Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Remez L'Kvura Min HaTorah Minayin. So how do we know that there is a Torah source for Kvura? I'm not going to discuss now whether that's fundamentally Din D'Oraisa or Din D'Rabbanan. Tam Lomar, Machlokas Rishonim, Tam Lomar Ki Kavur Tik Barenu, Mikan Remez L'Kvura Min HaTorah. So that's in the context of Haruge Bezdin, but the Gemara derives that that requirement of Kvura is not limited to Haruge Bezdin, but applies to everyone. Fine. Then, I'm skipping a few lines, the Gemara has an exchange between Shvur Malka and Rav Chama. So the Gemara has them just skipping into the middle of the exchange over there, the second long line, Yibay Lele Meimaki Kavur, Delev Ele Aron. So I might have thought if I only had Kavur, that all you need to do is make an Aron, put the mace in a coffin, and then that's sufficient. The Tikvarenu tells you you need to do more than that. There's Kvura beyond just putting him in an Aron. Then the Gemara has a Shaila as to what is the actual reason for Kvura. Ibailahu, a few lines further, Kvura Mishim Bizyonahu or Mishim Kaparahu. So is the purpose of Kvura to avoid Bizyon Mace, or does it affect Kapara for the Nifter? L'may Nafkamina, Damar Labina Delik Barua. What happens if Lahu Gavra? What happens if a person says, I don't want to be buried? So if it's because of Bizyon, That's not up to him. If he doesn't have bialis on the Bizayim. However, if it's Mishum Kapara, so a person could say, I don't want Kapara. Fine, so that's the Shaila the Gemara has. So the Gemara tells you need Kvura. The Gemara doesn't tell you what Kvura means. Bam is a Kvura Minotaur. So how do we define Kvura? How do you perform Kvura? So if you look in the Chidushei Haran, on the next page, in the Defus Kiddushei Aron, which you have over here, for some reason, it says, has a header of Mem Beis Amid Beis twice. So here we have the second header, Mem Vav and Beis. There are two headers for Mem Vav and Beis. Here we have the second one. There's actually a first one that starts on the previous page. So the piece that I wanted to read starts on the previous page and it continues the first half paragraph on this page. So I'll just read you the line that doesn't appear here, and then we'll skip. On this Gemara of Remez Lekvura Minatora, says the Ran, Klomar Kvuras Karka. This is the source, and you need to bury in the ground. Then the Ran writes, we'll pick up here the second line, what you have in front of you. It doesn't mean that you can't put the mace in an aron and put the aron in the karka. So karka is the, it sounds like the most effective way of burying is in fact to bury the mace directly in karka, not even with an aron. It said there they put the mace directly. There the mace wasn't in aron. But it says ki afar atav el afar tashuv v'yame b'agad ha'shafer hu refuasa tov l'kayim b'kfuas karka mamish shelo behefsek. So even though there's clear sources for putting an aron in the karka, and that was done traditionally, but on some level maybe there's an even better mila to putting the mace directly in the karka without an aron, v'chemin ageinu b'gironia, that was the minhag in the Ran's community in Spain. By bila disobey, the Ran says, the Gemara, Remez, the Kruminator is telling you, this is the source not for burial anywhere, but burial in the ground. As the Ramban writes in Taurus Adam is the Ramban's Chibra and Hilchas Avelos, quoted, this precise line is not quoted explicitly in the Beis Yosef, the beginning of Shin Samach Beis, but part of that piece is. So you can look at the Beis Yosef here on the next page, the beginning of Shin Samach Beis, you won't find this exact line. Ramban there has a line parallel to this Ran, Sha'osa Aron Lemeis, Manicha Beis HaKvar is Kvura. So simply putting a mace in an aron and placing the aron on the ground of the cemetery without burying it underground is not a kiyum, is not considered kvura. So Remez the kvura minatora means they have to be kover the karka.
Well, what was in the kufin? The aron was actually surrounded by dirt?
So it's not abundantly clear, but it sounds like the kufin were underground and they were tight and totally surrounded. So it was some underground cavern, underground structure that where you dug out or carved out an area to put in the mace, then you put the aron in that cavity and then probably close it up with dirt on the other side.
So it was closely touching the aron, the dirt.
That's my best guess. But
what would you do with Kruti Atamos?
I'm sorry?
They do.
So when they would do that, then I guess they would take it out and then collect. Right. So take a look in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Shin Samach Beis, if Aleph. And Mechaber writes, Shin Samach Beis, if Aleph, Hanosein Meso Ba'aron V'lo Kover Bakarka. So if a person puts a mace in an aron but doesn't bury the aron bakarka, over mishum malin es hamace. So that's a violation of halana sadeh. So he hasn't been mekayin the mitzvah of kvura, and he hasn't been malin, he violates halana sadeh. So that's based on the Ramban that we just quoted from the Torah Sa'adam. V'yim nasna ba'aron v'kavir bakarka eino overlap. Once you put the mace in an aron and put the aron in the ground, then you're no longer violating Baal Talin. Mikamakam yafa l'kavir bakarka mamish hafilu b'chotzaris. But optimal, the best, is to be kovir in karka directly, even without an aron, even in chotzaris. That was the l'chachila, or the super way of performing kvura reflected by the Ran that we saw. Okay, so that is what we'll call traditional Jewish burial either with an aron or without an aron, the karka. Take a look here in Sif Dalid in the Mechaber, Shin Samach Beis Sif Dalid, and Mechaber writes, Ein Nosnin Beis Aronos Ze Al Ze. So you're not allowed to place one aron on top of another aron. V'im Nosan Kofen Elyon Sheyifne. And if you did that, so then we force the, so it's first come, first serve. Whoever got there last, we have to remove. However, if there is a space of Vav Tvachim that's filled in with Afar between the lower Aron and the upper Aron, then you could have what's, I guess, referred to colloquially as Machpela burial, or Kever al Gabi Kever, where you have one Aron on top of the other, as long as there's a Hefsik of Vav Tvachim of Afar. So it sounds like this is a Bidiyavid situation, not the ideal form of Kvura, but if it was done, then as long as you have a Hefsik of Vav Tvachim, you need three Tvachim above the lower one, three Tvachim below the upper one for a total of Vav Tvachim, that would be Mutter. And there is evidence that this practice existed in certain Jewish communities. Achiezer writes, Chaim Ozer writes, Chela Gimel, Simen Ayintes Ostala, Chela Gimel, Simen Ayintes Ostala. He was asked about a cemetery that was a little bit short on space, and they wanted to institute this kind of kvura. So he seems to write there that in Vilna they had such a practice of burying kever, al-gabe kever. In Rav Avadia has a tshuva, Yabi Omer Chelek Tes Yoredeya Simen Lamed Dalet, Yabi Omer Chelek Tes Yoredeya Simen Lamed Dalet. The Rav Avadia is talking about a situation where I don't fully know if I understand the recommendation made here in all its detail. The story, the shiloh that was posed, was from a community in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, where there wasn't enough room in the old cemetery anymore, and they needed to look for new options for increasing burial spots. And the suggestion that was in play was burying on top of existing farms. So it sounds like they're talking about adding a whole new layer of cement, of concrete, and then adding more offer on top of it, and then burying in this additional afar that would be put on top of the pre-existing layer in the cemetery. So that touches on a couple of issues. One is kever glabe kever. The other one is whether transported afar or man-made afar is considered afar or karka for the purposes of kluis karka. That's a discussion that it's part of the discussion of the contemporary issue that we'll get to in a few moments. But there is evidence, or at least there are posts that seem to assume that even if it's transported and then relocated somewhere else, but it's really offered, that would still have the din of Kfur Bakarka, though not necessarily at all so Pashat. Rav Avadia seems to be assuming that this would still be considered Kfur's Karka, and that it would be appropriate under these circumstances, in at least a Bidiyavid situation, to have Kever, Al-Gabe Kever. Yeah?
Yeah, isn't there supposed to be a certain depth to the original Kvura, like a certain number falcon down into the ground?
I think that's a convention.
Because then otherwise, whoever's on top is not going to be deep enough unless you start off originally very deep.
Right. I don't think there's a formal requirement beyond... I don't think there's a formal shear of how deep Kever has to be.
You get the impression from the Ran, Chamashi Ran,
yeah,
it's not so much an issue of offer,
right,
of Tachtios Earth. So you should be below ground, let the Kaparas that you Hana.
Right, and that's the lesson of Rashi on in the Gemara you have over here, Mevav and Mevez, Rashi the Ramaskal O, Kihech Dehavi Le Kapara Bahatmanazu, She Moridim Umashpilin Osobe Tachtios. That it's deep down in the ground. So Rav Yashiv in a tshuva, Kovitz Tshuva Chela Beisim and Samach Dalit, Kovitz Tshuva Chela Beisim and Samach Dalit, quotes Rashi as part of his reluctance to endorse any kind of newfangled burial system, where you're not going to have a mace that's deep down on the ground, Blush and Rashi, but even, again, I'm not aware of a formal shear of what deep down is. And Rav Yashiv writes there as well that any shinu minhug in minhagi kvura is ill-advised, and he quotes a source that shinu minhug in minhagi kvura is more chamer than shinu minhug in other areas of halacha. Yeah.
By the way, in addition to the isser issue, isn't there an almost issue when the person bought a burial plot to be laid the whole all the way down? I mean, can someone go?
So Rav Amar raises a similar issue. I'm not exactly sure how you would. How to analyze it properly. But Rav Amar has a similar tshuva to this Rav Avadia, printed in Tchumin, Volume Chavzayin. He was asked from the community in Istanbul, similar kind of situation, where they ran out of room in the old cemetery, and there's no more room to bury, and there is a law in Turkey that if you don't use space for 3 years, then the government could reclaim it, so they're worried if they stop burying, then maybe they lose the rights to the basic forest. So he discusses this possibility of having Kever al Gavi Kever. One of the issues he raises, aside from the technical Vav Tvachim, if some say maybe Gimel Tvachim is enough, there's a Tashbetz quoted in Simin Shin Samach Dalet, but be that as it may, so he raises another issue. Do you need to have, does this only work if the original mace was buried with the intention that this is going to happen? See, he doesn't quite fully analyze that question. Is it the theoretical right of Macha on the part of the family of the first mace if they bury the first mace without the knowledge that someone else is going to end up on top of him or her? He thinks he has a deal from a Tosafta that sounds like you don't have to have their knowledge, but he raises the issue, and I guess that may warrant further analysis. Yeah. So some who discuss this say it should only be the same gender unless they're spouses. They shouldn't bury a woman on top of a man or vice versa unless they were married to each other.
Why do you say that Zelgavi is only Bidiyavet?
So the lashon of chaber is mutter, and where does that come from? I don't remember the source of that lashon, but the way Poskim discuss it. It doesn't sound like among the contemporary poskim that discuss the possibility of kever gabe kever, it's all presented as a bidyevit situation where we have no other breira, so is this mutter. It doesn't, I think Rav Moshe, one of the tshuvas that we probably won't get to tonight, isn't so excited about it even on a bidyevit level. So it's definitely how it's presented that this isn't an ideal, but. Because after all, it only works if there's a hefsek. So if there's no hefsek, it doesn't even work. But the avid, you'd have to take the first aron off. It's presented as a b'di'avid. So Rav Avadi there references a brief comment by Rabbi Rosenthal of the Haifa Beis Din, which is printed in a article of brief aros that he wrote in one of the Moriyaz Tafshin Nuntes. Where he writes that he had recently instituted in Haifa this practice of kever al gabe kever because of the running out of room that they were experiencing there. So he writes, that was... But they instituted what he calls machpelah burial... Kefisha Yanohug Bismana Torah Bikfuras Abasenu. Do you assume that's what Maras HaMechpela was? Kever al Gabi Kever, I think. And we're Matzir Atol Yoshna by reinstituting that in Haifa. Okay. The bigger issue is these kind of outside above ground. Kfura bekamot situations that seem to be sprouting up with a fair amount of frequency in Eretz Yisrael now. So there was a directive of the Rabbanut HaRashit going back to Tavshin Mem Zayin, which I have a copy of here reprinted in B'marei HaBazak, the Eretz Kemble Tshuvas, Chelek Dalet Simen Kuf Yudalet, Chelek Dalet Simen Kuf Yudalet, which is a tshuva, an essay by Rav Shaul Yisraeli, on this topic. It was not such a fan. But the Hachlata writes, Aliachar Sheshamanu es mitzukat hakarka litzarche kvur be'eretz v'hatzat ha'adri kilim. He gives their names. Bofen ekroni ein meniyah mitzat halach l'kvura kamar le'el haynu mivneh beis kvaris besoch givas afar karka ola. So that's talking about making graves inside the mountainside above ground. As long as it's done with the haskama of the Chavra Kadisha and the local rabbi and the haskama of the family and it's Mushare de Rabbanut and only based on the architectural plans that are presented to us. So at first glance, it sounds like this kind of a system, this parking lot burial, is not much different than the mausoleums that were discussed by the poskim of a generation ago. If we take a look at Igros Moshe, Chela Gimel Yerodea Simen Kuf Mem Gimel, Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Mem Gimel, Tshuva written to Rabbi Yaakov Muskin, I think it was the father of Rabbi Lazar Muskin of LA, current president of the RCA. The senior Rabbi Muskin is a Rav in Cleveland. So he's asked about, it sounds like the situation at hand wasn't so much whether you're allowed to bury in a mausoleum, although that's what he discusses, but whether a cemetery under proper management could even be associated with a mausoleum. Is it appropriate for a proper Orthodox run cemetery to have a mausoleum on its grounds or connected to its grounds? So in Ramosha's analysis, he writes, Chelek Gimel Simen Kuf Mem Gimel, that Vadai Livnos Mausoleum Laniach Sham Mesim Hu Isser Gadol. It's a great Isser. I was listening to the car yesterday to Rav Asher Weiss's weekly English Parsha Shir on the topic of Kfura. He wasn't talking about these issues at all. He was talking about cremation a little bit. So he kept on referring to cremation as a grave prohibition. I think totally oblivious to the pun involved. So you could translate Rav Moshe's Isser Gadol as a grave prohibition. So to have a mausoleum is Asser, because you have to be Kover, Dafka, Bekarka, the Gemara and Sanhedrin that we started with. And then it raises another issue that this isn't definitional to a mausoleum, but I guess typically those interred in mausoleums would be preserved in such a way to delay the decomposition of the body, more so than in traditional ground burial. So to create a situation where you are delaying or slowing down the decomposition is halachically inappropriate, because kapar is only achieved after ikol habasar, so to delay that is to delay the kapar of the mace, and that is inappropriate. So then he writes on the next page, "Mele pashit shechayav l'mufarsem be'iser as rishum ish b'Yisrael asir l'anicha b'mazalim." So we should be mufarsem that no one is allowed to be buried in a mausoleum for these two reasons. He says, essentially, you're violating the you're not performing kfur, you're not performing the essay of kfur, and you're violating the lav of lo salin, in addition to the equal consideration. And therefore, it's a bizayon to have a basic kfaris that's associated with a mausoleum. The Rav Moshe does, in the next tshuva, Simen Kuf Mem Dalet, which is a follow-up, does acknowledge that maybe, it seems to acknowledge that maybe min haTorah, such a kfura would be acceptable. He references a Gemara in Sanhedrin Mem Ches Amud Beis that talks about an institution of kever binyan, and at least according to one day in Rishonim, it seems like most Rishonim don't understand this way, but at least according to one day in Rishonim, kever binyan may refer to a kever that's actually above ground. According to most Rishonim, kever binyan sounds like, this is how Rabbi Gedalia Axelrod of the Bezin in Haifa has a very long 40-page kuntres, Kvurat Kamot B'Mivchan Halacha, which he attacks all these new innovations. So he proves that basically all the Rishonim there, with slight variations, understand the institution of Binyan, of Kever Binyan differently. The Kever Binyan is where the Kever is underground, there's just some kind of a structure over the kever. And this is in the context of the comparison to Avodah Zarah, and whether Talish B'Sof Chibro, Chibro B'Sof Talsho is considered to be Aser Bana, because anything that's associated with the mace or a kever is Aser Bana. So if you have something that starts out in Mechubra, then you're Talish it. Is that Aser Bana? That's the context of the Gemara in Sanhedrin Mem Zayin. But Ramosha says, at least based on that possibility, that maybe Kever Binyan refers to a kever that's above ground, so maybe on some level such a kfur would be acceptable. He says practically it's ill-advised, because even if you could justify it halachically, maybe it's going to be knocked down, maybe it's not going to maybe it's not going to last. And all the other issues he raised with mausoleums before, but he concedes that maybe min haTorah such a kvura would be acceptable, even though clearly midrabanan and practically speaking, it's not. That's what Rabbi Axelrod discusses in his kuntres over here. Kvurat kamovim of Chan Halacha, that this institution of the parking lot cemeteries outside aren't really different than the mausoleums discussed the poskim the last couple of generations, which is an institution that the Reform took from the church and never existed in traditional Jewish sources. Even if you're going to take some dirt from the ground and cover your new parking lot level kvarim with that dirt, that still doesn't cut it, because that's which doesn't have the status of karka as far as kvura bekarka is concerned. If you look at pictures of these developments, they really look like mausoleums. They have all these shelves that you put the aron in, and then you cover it with a plaque or a kilo matseva, and then you're walking into a room and you're looking up. It's like a wall with all these, it looks like yahrzeit plaques. You can take a look on YouTube at the videos of these things. So like you're walking into a room with all these yahrzeit plaques, which are, you know, the covers of the graves that are, the arons that are stuck into the crevices in the walls. So there, among those who justify this, there seems to be some conflation of the various models that we discussed until now. Some conflation of Aron al Gabi Aron, Kever al Gabi Kever, which there is ample justification for in halachic sources, maybe in certain circumstances even l'chachila, but at least with the Eved. And there seems to be conflation of that with this system of Kruabu Kamot outside, where it's totally a standalone structure, not part of any underground system at all. So I just came across a letter by the head of the Chevra Kedisha in Tel Aviv, Rabbi Yaakov Roja, maybe mispronouncing that, printed in Hamayan, Tamas Tavshin Ein Dalet, where he quotes all these contemporary poskim that seem to endorse this practice, but if you look at them carefully, they're not all talking about the same thing. So he quotes the Rav Avadi we just quoted, who I don't think is talking about this. He quotes Rav Amar, who's definitely not talking about this. And there seems to be a relative conflation of some of these sources. That's what Rabbi Axelrod highlights. People were quoting Rav Yashiv, and Rav Vosner is allowing for this, although Rav Vosner apparently retracted an original endorsement because he didn't understand the Messias he was being asked about. The same thing with Rav Yashiv, who in the Tshuva wrote seemingly against this. So Od Chazon L'Moed, there's more to talk about, and we haven't even touched on whether the underground version of this may be better, which perhaps because it is underground. But it looks like this is a issue in progress where more will have to be said.
What's the basic issue for underground?